In fact, I invited a speaker from a church in the northern part of Adelaide. But in the last minute, he was not able to make it, so he sent me an apology. So I decided to make up this particular message for today, but it is not, a completion of all my thoughts. I have been thinking about this particular subject for a long time, and because of his the guest speaker's inability to be able to come and join us, I decided to gather my thoughts and produce a message. But there will be a sequel to it, because it is a very difficult topic, but at the same time, it is a topic that we need to deeply think about, and that issue is obviously tolerance and intolerance. It is closely related to anti-discrimination law in Australia, at the same time, politically correctness sort of movement, and how we should respond to those matters, and what is our understanding of tolerance and intolerance. And so there are a lot of things we need to consider. So even though I may pour out a lot of things this morning, it's just a fragment of even deeper thoughts. And so I promise that there will be some sequels to this message. And the reason that I chose 2 John chapter 1, verses 1 to 4, in fact, it has only one chapter anyway, is because not necessarily I'm planning to use this passage as a kind of a base of my message, but there are two words in particular which must be well recognized as we think about the topic of tolerance and intolerance. That is found, those two words are found in the latter part of verse 3, truth and love. Truth and love are making up a very good pair, and throughout this particular epistle, you can find quite frequent utterance of these two words together, truth and love. And so tolerance is basically based on that idea, combined the force of truth and love. I wonder if there are words more revered than tolerance in our Western, secular, and liberal world. This word suggests the disposition to be patient and understanding toward the people of differing opinions or practices. It suggests freedom from severity or bigotry in judging the conduct of other people. One of the Bible's great chapters speaks of it in this way. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 to 7, love suffereth long and is kind. Love envieth not, love vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. I think lots of tolerance is involved in the definition of word, of the word love. There was a time when evangelical Christians thought that it was not appropriate to be involved in public life. So one of their favorite songs was, "This world is not my home, I'm just passing through, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore." Probably many of you even memorized this song. Christians' main task was understood as warning others of the wrath that is to come and inviting them to join the spiritual minority whose wealth is stored up in a place where moth and dust, rust do not corrupt. However, it is also true that we have to live a life on earth which cannot but be affected and influenced by culture, law and order, political systems, changing thoughts and minds of the times, and so on. In other words, we have to live with all kinds of un-Christian social environments and people not sharing the same faith. Unfortunately, some people chose war over peace to establish the kingdom of God on earth by force. However, we know that it will not happen till Jesus comes again. It's not going to be our work. Romans chapter 14, verse 19 says, "Let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another." So we are exhorted to live by making peace. Galatians chapter 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. So we should be good to all men. In order to live with people in peace, tolerance is necessary in our minds, in our conducts, in our words, in our behaviors. It is not only applicable to the world, but also to the believing communities. How many believing communities are being divided by conflicts? When tolerance disappears, conflicts, fights, wars, hatred, and all kinds of evil atrocities will eventually happen. We do recognize the importance of tolerance in this world. The word tolerance derives from the Latin word meaning to endure. The thing to be endured is always some person, idea, attitude, or action that we believe to be wrong. It follows from the definition, then, that tolerance involves our attitude toward error, or at least toward what someone believes to be error. It is not a light matter to understand tolerance in this manner, because it indicates that the tension must always exist between tolerance and truth. Because truth is related to wrongs, and tolerance also is related to wrongs. Tolerance demands that we should treat charitably persons or groups espousing convictions contrary to our own understanding of truth, graciously granting to them the right to contradict, to believe differently, to speak their minds. On the one hand is commitment to truth, on the other, an obligation to be gracious, generous-hearted toward those opposed to that truth. Unable to resolve this dilemma, some men have traditionally sought to escape it by embracing one extreme and forsaking the other. Some have chosen to pursue truth zealously and despise toleration as softness. Ardor for truth has forever been the assassin of tolerance, a cloak for the most evil and revolting human passions. Wars have been waged for the glory of God. Bloody crusades and merciless inquisitions have been staged. Atrocities unspeakable have been committed in the name of truth, like Saul of Tarsus. Convicted zealots today continue to make havoc of the hopes of Christ's church in the name of Christ and his truth. Although the weapons of intolerance have been sophisticated, the spirit of the thumbscrew and the wreck is still with us. But there are two sides to every story. If some have tried to resolve the conflict by professing their devotion to absolute truth and dismissing tolerance as compromise, others have honored the tolerance at the high cost of a low concern for truth. Along the path of this second solution, that of an easy tolerance, they may fall into deceptions and falsehood. Our question is, then what is tolerance and what is intolerance? What should we do with the tolerance and intolerance? So let me begin with the first point, confusions over tolerance and intolerance. The first thought coming into my mind is the infamous anti-discrimination law of Australia. The law defines discrimination as follows, in quote, discrimination occurs when a person or a group of people is treated less favorably than another person or group because of their background or certain personal characteristics. This is known as a direct discrimination. It is also discrimination when a rule or policy applies to everyone but has the effect of disadvantaging some people because of a personal characteristic they share. This is known as indirect discrimination. The Attorney General's office says of the reason why we need this law as follows. This is a quote again, in quote, non-discrimination is an integral part of the principle of equality. It ensures that no one is denied their rights because of factors such as race, color, sex, language, religion, political or other opinion, national or social origin, property or birth. In addition to these grounds, discrimination on certain grounds may also be prohibited. These grounds include age, nationality, marital status, disability, place of residence within a country, and sexual orientation, end of quote. There are a few words we need to notice, which are like a principle of equality. What is equality? You know, in fact, when these words look and sound wonderful and beautiful, in fact, your impression of these words may not be the same as the impressions made by the law, because it all depends on who is going to define those words. And there is another term, like no one is denied their rights. Who is no one and what is rights? And some of the categories of discriminations based are quite interesting too. These categories include race, color, language, national and social origin, or property or birth. On the other hand, religion, political, or other opinion. There are a few reasons why we need to consider such a dichotomy by classifying the categories of discriminations. First of all, one kind is something that we are born with. Second, the other kind is something that we gain or obtain as we grow older. Ideologies belong to this category, and they include religions, political opinions, or sexual orientation. And we recently saw that some political figures became targets of violences. We also have seen wars in Ukraine and in Gaza. We all agree that we cannot and should not discriminate anyone based on something they are born with, because they cannot do anything about it. We did not choose our families, and we did not choose our own ethnic groups. We did not choose, the color of our eyes or hairs, or we did not choose to be born with any particular place of residence. We were born with it. They cannot do anything about it. However, when we come to the second category, which is of moral-like ideologies, we begin to be confused. The law says that we should not discriminate anyone against anything, including ideologies, which include the sex and gender issues and the sexual orientation issues. In fact, in order to give you an example, I studied the history of communism and communists in Australia, but it was a long thing to explain, so I just dropped it. Quite interesting, you may want to look at it. How ideology, communism, was accepted or denied, and two parties, labor and liberal parties, were fighting against it, and the liberals were in favor of it for a while, and the liberal wanted to have a referendum, and referendum says by the Australian public that it's okay to have communist ideology hanging around in the society. And so it is quite interesting. Ideological war was there. When I speak against, for example, transgenderism, you know, I must say that I believe that sex and gender controversies are not scientific at all. It is ideological. And so, for example, when I speak against transgenderism or homosexualism, people love to call me transphobic or homophobic. It is quite funny for them to call me this way. I'm not afraid of homosexuals. I'm not homophobia, or I'm not transphobic. I'm not afraid of them. But surely I disagree with their views of sex and gender. However, the world or LGBTQ activists want to call my disagreements as discrimination. Can you see a subtle kind of gap between these two words? Problems come into discussions right now. In the large, there are two questions we may raise. Number one, how far should we go in terms of acceptance of different opinions? What do we mean by not discriminating against anyone? What is the line of division between disagreement and discrimination? How far can we go without incurring discriminations against anyone? Number two, then now we have to face the difficult question. Is there anything, though different from others, but not discriminated? For example, anarchism is a different ideology from other political views of nationhood, and it is not accepted by any normal government, but opposed. It indicates that there must be norms or standards by which we can determine whether any idea or ideology or opinion could be accepted or rejected. The question is, what is that norm? What is the standard? And who is going to define the standard or norm? If we go one step further, acceptance or rejection are not everything we have to consider in this matter. There are things which are disagreeable, but still acceptable or tolerable. There are a lot of disagreements in our society, even in our families. But we do accept them, do tolerate them as well. It is because there are many ideas and opinions that we cannot agree, but still respect their rights to exist. It is because of the dignity of man and the freedom of conscience. After all, we are living in free societies. This is the area we need to consider under the headings of tolerance or intolerance. The spectrum of life is too wide and too colorful to be defined by acceptance or discrimination. That's why anti-discrimination law can serve its good purposes and at the same time pose threats to the freedom of thoughts and conscience. A part of anti-discrimination law could jeopardize the very freedom we have enjoyed, including freedom of religion, freedom of conscience, speech, and expression. I will explain this point some other times. I need to explain the problems of tolerance and intolerance too. Merriam-Webster's English dictionary defines discrimination as, I think probably I gave you those definitions, a prejudiced or prejudicial outlook, action, or treatment, the act, practice, or an instance or discriminating categorically rather than individually, the quality or power of finely distinguishing, and lastly, the act of making or perceiving a difference. It means that in order to discriminate something, there is a norm to compare with. So in comparison to that, by comparing this one with the standard and norm, certain opinions are generated. Then who will decide the norm or standard? It brings up even more difficult questions to Christians. This world is not of them. We live in this world, but we are not of the world, as we have said quite often. Secularism is often in opposition to biblical truth, which implies that there are inevitable clashes between the worldview represented by the state and the worldview represented by the church. And between the culture and the biblical truth, there are huge gaps and differences. For example, Jesus says in Matthew 6, verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon." Two worldviews are on the crashing course. John 15, verse 18 says, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you." So Jesus says, the world hates me, and so it is a natural thing for the world to hate you. If we change the wordings a bit here, it means that the world cannot but discriminate you, followers of Jesus, and if you stand up for biblical truths, then you will be the target of anti-discrimination law, because that's the worldview of the state. So because of certain biblical convictions you have, if these laws are not properly restricted, you may be targeted. There are genuine cases that discrimination must be prevented and even punished. However, not all the implications that the anti-discrimination law compels us to follow will protect us from discriminations against us, but rather this anti-discrimination idea can be the very tool to discriminate the Bible-believing Christians. That is why we need politicians who understand the Christian faith in the parliament. So you need to pray for Christian parliamentarians. Probably the current LGBTQ issues are one of many examples. Gay marriage is illegal, and I believe that the Bible speaks against it. When ideas are in clash, whose idea is the norm? For sure, culture and the Bible do not share the same worldview. Speaking to the public about errors of other religions, for example, will be counted as a discrimination. In other words, our opinions and beliefs are considered as discriminations, and our beliefs and our opinions and our faith must be only in private. It should not be expressed in public. How should we deal with our differences in this world, especially as we are commanded to share the gospel with the fallen world? We are confused over the concept and understanding of two words, tolerance and intolerance. I think that tolerance and intolerance issues are not much different from discrimination and anti-discrimination issues or political correctness issues. Let me remind you of the definition of tolerance by Merriam-Webster's English Dictionary once again. Tolerance means capacity to endure pain or hardship. Sympathy or indulge for beliefs or practices different from or conflicting with one's own. The act of allowing something, and lastly, the allowable deviation from a standard. According to this definition, we find that while discrimination seems to indicate exercise and practice of the power of prejudice in the forms of discriminatory actions, words, and behaviors against the ones who are not conformed to certain sets of ideas, concepts, and outlooks, tolerance implies the scope and duration of accepting and enduring the differences with not-so-agreeable ideas, concepts, and outlooks. To the contrary, the idea of anti-discrimination forces us to accept different ideologies as not only equal, but also truthful as our ideology or beliefs, by which it declares that all ideologies are equally valuable and equally truthful. That is something that I cannot accept and we cannot accept. To show you the difficulty of this topic, let me give you a list of the types of discriminations recognized by anti-discrimination law in Australia. There are types of discriminations against age, association with a child, caring responsibilities, disability, assistance animals, therapeutic animals, domestic abuse, gender identity, intersex status, marital status, pregnancy, race, religious dress, mainly probably burqa, possibly including symbols like a cross and Christmas decorations in public, etc., sex, sexual orientation, and spouse or partner's identity. Then we come back to the scriptures and see how the Bible explains about acceptance, tolerance, and intolerance. 1 John chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Marvel not, my brethren, if the world hates you." So there are a lot of times when our worldviews are not going along with, the worldviews of this world. Apostle John tells us that it is not a strange thing for us to be hated by the world. Therefore, if you think that you have been getting along all the time without having any clashes, any problems in this world while you are living and working, probably you are of the world. Apostle John says that. Jesus says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 6, "But this thou hast that thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Here, Jesus says to this Ephesian church, thou hatest the deeds of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Jesus hates the deeds of Nicolaitans, wherever and whatever they were. And also he says in Revelation chapter 2, verse 15, so hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. So here doctrines are beliefs and ideologies. Jesus hates both the deeds and the beliefs of the Nicolaitans. There is no room for tolerance, according to this verse about Nicolaitans. 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 16 is very clearly says this, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Therefore, the worldview of this world and your worldview, if they are completely agreeable and compatible, this is what John says, the love of the Father is not in you. And 1 John 2, verse 16 says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Then we find that there are tensions between Christians and the world. These tensions are real and serious to us who should be the light and salt of the world. There are religious groups believing that their faith is the only right kind, and all others must be decimated. They are intolerant to others. Then what is our understanding of tolerance or intolerance as the believers of Christ? And I'm not just talking about you only, but I'm talking about your children as well. Your family devotion at home, your Christian education at home is going to be extremely helpful and extremely deterrent of the encroaching of worldviews of this world into the hearts of your children. So that's why it is so important for you to understand this. Then why reasons causing confusions over tolerance and intolerance? First, the world has adopted relativism as a new norm, relativism. Jacques Maritain, the well-known Thomist philosopher, has observed that, in quote, it is not unusual to meet people who think that not to believe in any truth is a primary condition required of democratic citizens in order to be tolerant of one another, end of quote. So in other words, if you want to have perfect democratic society, then you need to get rid of all kinds of ideas about truth. There is no absolute truth. That's the idea. As for the believers of relativism, absolute truth is the enemy of all troubles. The absolute truth discriminates on truth and refuses to tolerate it. To the contrary, relativism accepts all truth claims are truthful. Therefore, if you try to share the gospel message with someone, those ones who have been already brainwashed by relativism, they will say, it is good. You believe in Jesus. It sounds like that it is good for you, but it is not good for me. And I have something else that I do follow. I have my own convictions. It is good for me. So it is good for you. It is not good for me, but that is good for me. It may not be good for you. But everybody has something which is good for them. Therefore, it denies any intolerance against any absolute truth claim. It rejects any absolute truth in some ways. So relativism denies the existence of absolute truth. Thus, when Jesus claims that he is the way, he is the truth, he is the life, and that no man comes to the Father but by him, he is judged as a bigot. Jesus says in John chapter 3 verse 18, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. That is absolute truth, and relativism hates it. John 3:36 says, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Thus the biblical truth, the absolute truth, proclaims that all men are sinners. Oh, relativism doesn't like it. And they must repent of their sins, absolute truth says. The absolute truth is very much a self-assertion. Matthew 7 verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. It is an exclusive privilege for certain people to enter the kingdom of heaven. Exclusivism. Oh, that's a hateful word for a relativism. In contrast, relativism denounces such a claim as bigotry. It argues that there are many ways that lead us to heaven. These ways could be Islam, could be Buddhism, Hinduism, Deism, or any religion. Thus, relativism hates the gospel truth. But we find an oxymoron here. Relativism promotes tolerance while it is intolerant to Christian faith. It talks about tolerance, but it is very much intolerant to Christian truth. Thus, it says of tolerance of intolerance. Relativism appears to fit in the democratic society. If zeal for truth produces intolerance, the line of logic runs, then the democratic society must diminish passion for absolute truth. Because of the claims of absolute truth, there are a group of people who are intolerant to other people. Therefore, diminish such a passion for absolute truth, then we will have a successful democratic society. Features of democracy oftentimes includes freedom of assembly, association, personal property, freedom of religion and speech, voting rights, freedom from unwarranted governmental deprivation of the right to life and liberty and minority rights. Therefore, all men and women must be treated equally. However, it does not stop there either. It demands that all ideas must be equally treated. All these words sound right and good. You know, there are a lot of different opinions. It's okay. However, when it comes down to the ideas, we cannot but face huge problems. For example, let me say about the religions. Hinduism serves a multitude of gods and goddesses. Christianity believes in only one God. Relativism tells us that these two religions are equally truthful. Our response is, really, huh? Concerning Jesus Christ, Islam says that Jesus did not die. Judaism says that Jesus died but did not rise again from the dead, or that the disciples of Jesus stole his dead body and spread the lies of his resurrection. And Christianity says that Jesus died but rose again from the dead and he will come again. And relativism says that all these religions are equally truthful, while Christianity proclaims in 1 John chapter 5, verse 12, he that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, concerning his Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. So resurrection of Christ Jesus is the essential, crucial part of the confession of Christians. Well, liberal Christians really do not care about only way to heaven through Christ. They deny even bodily resurrection of Jesus. And a democratic society says that majority votes always right. Is it so? Let me then give you bad news. I must say that God is neither liberal nor democratic. Out of necessity, we take votes and so on, but majority vote does not mean that it is always the right choice. We, I think, from Christian perspectives, according to the referendum, gay marriage was right. It was a majority vote, so we have to follow the law. But Bible-believing Christians will have to say in their conscience that that is against the biblical teachings. Majority vote does not take us always to the right places. You have to always remember this in your church ministry. Always remember that. And relativism promotes misguided ideas of toleration. Relativism sounds good and right. However, if we look into this claim very carefully, we may find some inherent problems with it, with what it promotes. A person whose standard is low does not need to be told about tolerance because he accepts anything anyway. A society that has a very low estimate of truth need not talk about tolerance. For tolerance is a quality reserved for men who have something at stake. Edmund Burke wrote these timely words in 1790, in quote, "We hear these new teachers continually boasting of their spirit of toleration, that those persons should tolerate all opinions who think none to be of estimation is a matter of small merit. Equal neglect is not impartial kindness. The species of benevolence which arises from contempt is not true charity." End of quote. How true that is. The society that promotes relativism is not qualified to talk about tolerance. However, the world challenges and rebukes Christians for their intolerance and advises them to be tolerant. It is a case that the word tolerance is on the wrong side, in the hands of wrong party. The world behaves as if it tolerates lots of things by not tolerating the absolute truth. Thus, in fact, relativism accepts everything as equally truthful. It implies that relativism does not need any tolerance because it accepts anything and everything. Thus, it does not have anything to tolerate at all because it accepts all. Then relativism becomes the license for every evil. Relativism denies absolute truth, and thus it is lack of interest in what is right and what is wrong. It may not be good for you, but it is good for me. Anything is acceptable, according to relativism. If everything is relatively truthful, then everything is right, which embraces the wrong itself. How did our mankind come to this philosophy? Really amazing. How do we so casually put up with things that repelled the previous generations? How have we really matured? Have we grown sophisticated? Or have we lost heart in the search for truth, lost touch with objective standards, and brought chaos upon ourselves? When relativism fails to distinguish between right and wrong, it ultimately condones wrongs. So natural to mankind is intolerance in which they really care about. It is not too hard to understand it. For example, we really do not care about things that we are not passionate about or we are not interested in. However, we are inclined to be strict about what we care about. The world is intolerant toward the absolute truth of the Bible because what it cares about is relativistic worldview. Then the relativism becomes an absolute truth. Relativism measures and judges the claims of absolute truth and declares that there is no absolute truth. Therefore, it deems every claim of absolute truth as evil, by which relativism becomes an absolute truth. It becomes the norm. It becomes the standard. Whatever is disagreeable with relativistic judgment is considered evil. Relativism has become a dogma. So that's why the world hates absolute truth proclamations. The thought behind relativism is to accept everything as equal value, by which there is no intolerance against anything. But now, in the name of relativism, absolute truths are rejected and not tolerated. Therefore, the world says that it is okay for Christians to believe in Christian doctrines, but it is equally all right for all others to follow their own ideas because all are equally truthful. Relativism has become an absolute truth itself by which it denies the absolute truth of the Bible. Let me give you another example. Dr. Maya Wiley, American lawyer, professor, and civil rights activist, was asked by the U.S. Congresswoman Miss Mays of South Carolina about what woman is. In fact, if you go to YouTube, maybe if you type, you know, Dr. Maya Wiley and Miss Mays of South Carolina, you may find a few minutes of, you know, YouTube clip. And so, what is woman? American lawyer, professor, civil rights activist. What is woman? And this is the answer from Dr. Wiley. She says, a woman is a person who says she is. So if a person says, whether biologically male or female, it doesn't matter, and male here, it says, I'm a woman, then definition is satisfied. And so that person is a woman. To me, man is always man and woman is always woman. He is he and she is she. He is not she or they, because simply he thinks that way. I cannot change the absolute truth. God has ordained. And by the way, these are the things that your children are learning from school. And especially the universities, academians, especially sociologists. Probably from Christians' point of view, they are, or those places are, the most unreliable places and unreliable people. And that's why it is important for parents to educate their children at home with the scriptures. There are serious changes of definitions of tolerance and intolerance which amplifies confusions over these words. Tolerance has become part of the Western plausibility structure. The term plausibility structure is a term coined by sociologist Peter Berger, and it refers to structures of thought widely and almost unquestioningly accepted throughout a particular culture. So that is being called as plausibility structure. The plausibility structures in the Western countries are more restricted because there are fewer stances held in common. After all, the Western world is a free society with a freedom of thoughts, conscience, speeches, and expressions. Therefore, everyone could believe whatever he wants to believe and hold on to any view or idea that he likes to keep as his own. Thus, there are all kinds of ideas floating around and hovering over us. However, tolerance has become one of such few common stances that the Western world wills to keep, and it becomes a culture. Thus, tolerance is praised as a mark of free society. Therefore, if we walk into any public arena, including school, media, politics, or workplaces, and question of some of the common notions of tolerance, we are condemned as very insensitive and lacking in good taste, boorish. One good example is that we have been told and advised that speaking to people about our religion at workplaces or public places is not good, and that we should avoid bringing up religious topics to our conversations. The reason is simple. there are so many religions, including atheism, in the world. All religions are equal, and we should not offend others by saying that Christian faith is the only truthful faith, and there is no other way leading us to heaven but through Jesus Christ. Or saying that all men are sinners is not a good talk. The conclusion is very simple. We ought to tolerate all things because there are people believing in other things, and you keep your religion in your private. Thus, in the name of tolerance, Christians are not tolerated by the world. Some politicians have been even arguing that the Bible must be banned from public places because it is homophobic. Whatever becomes a part of the West plausibility structure, like tolerance, should not be questioned, by which the modern-day idea of tolerance in our society holds the moral high ground over all things. It cannot but be antagonistic toward Christianity, proclaiming the absolute truth of God. We know that the spirit of tolerance is necessary for harmonious life. We do not deny it. But if tolerance means to remove the distinction between right and wrong, it becomes a huge problem to us. Fundamentally, our problem with God is the sin problem. And if we cannot deal with the sin issues, right and wrong, then fundamentally we are removing our relationship with God. We Christians believe that there is only one way of salvation, and Jesus is the Lord. How does it mean that we must be tolerant to other ideas and thoughts? Believing in God of the Bible means that we must be tolerant to others who have different views of salvation and God. All right, then what does it mean? We need to consider the meaning of tolerance in intolerance. Let me repeat the definition of tolerance by Merriam-Webster's English Dictionary as capacity to endure pain or hardship, sympathy or indulgence for beliefs or practices indifferent from or conflicting with one's own, the act of allowing something, and the allowable deviation from a standard. The Declaration of Principles on Tolerance was proclaimed and signed by the member states of UNESCO on November 16, 1995. It defines tolerance in such a way. Tolerance is respect, acceptance, and appreciation of rich diversity of our world's cultures. Our forms of expression and ways of being human, tolerance is harmony in difference. It is not only a moral duty, it is also a political and legal requirement. Tolerance, the virtue that makes peace possible, contributes to the replacement of the culture of war by a culture of peace. It sounds good and wonderful. Unless the word definitions in this statement are the same definitions as we have for those words, there is a serious issue hidden behind it. First of all, we recognize other people's right to have different beliefs or practices. We have never denied it. So we do not say that unless you are a Christian in this country, you do not have any right to live in this country. That is not what we are promoting. We say that we have the right to exist as Christians in this country. Likewise, if you have different views and opinions, different religious convictions and so on, you also have the right to exist. However, accepting the differing views of other people is a different matter. Accepting the differing views of other people. We do recognize their right to have different beliefs or practices. However, accepting the different views of other people as if they are the same as ours is an issue. There is a problem. This is a different matter. To accept that a differing or opposing position exists and deserve the right to exist is one thing. So we do recognize that we must be freely coexisting. However, to accept the position itself means that we are no longer opposing it. We do recognize their differences, and we do recognize their right to exist, just like we have the right to exist. However, we do also say that they are different from us. we do not accept their positions. Out of this confusion, new definition of tolerance emerges. Accepting another's position becomes to mean believing that position to be true, or at least as true as our own. Here we see that we move from allowing the free expression of contrary opinions to the acceptance of all opinions. So we are permitted, we are allowed to express our views, and different religious groups can coexist in one society. However, that does not mean that every belief is equally true and equally valid. In a word, we have lost our right to express our objections and oppositions to other views. As soon as I say that Christ is the only way, they are arguing that I am intolerant. What are you talking about? What they are saying is that you should recognize our right to exist. At the same time, you should accept our views too. So there is no more difference in existence. We proclaim that there is one God in three persons. But there are others who deny it. When we declare that there is no righteous, even not one, there are others rejecting it. If we must accept all ideas to be equally truthful, then there is no more existence of differences. We face huge challenges because of these confusions. For example, as you know, I strongly oppose gay marriage as unbiblical, and thus I speak against it. However, gay marriage has become legal in Australia. It is not an offense for anyone to marry with the same sex. Then what is my position to such matter? Am I tolerant or intolerant? Here comes two kinds of definitions of these words. I believe that I should be allowed to express my thought freely, and only God is the Lord of my conscience. Therefore, when I preach the word from this pulpit, I will follow my beliefs and convictions based on the Bible. Then pro-gay groups will protest that I am intolerant of them. They will say that my speech is a hate speech. They immediately become intolerant toward me and express their hatred toward me. It is all because of their definition of the word tolerance. Their understanding is that if I were a tolerant person, then I must accept all their different views as mine. I need to point out that they could exercise their legal rights to express their views about my views, and I also need to insist that I must be allowed to express my thoughts freely as the scripture guides me. So they have a right to express their hatred toward me. But I also have the right to express my understanding of the scriptures on that issue. Then immediately they are saying that my speech is hate speech, but their speech is not. According to the original meaning of Merriam-Webster English Dictionary we read before, tolerance refers to our willingness to put up with a lot of opinions with which we disagree. So I disagree with them, but in the society under the same law, I need to put up with it. And likewise, they must put up with me, but the law says that's a discrimination. And sociologists are saying that I am intolerant. That harms and destroys my freedom of free speech and free expression. Can you see what we have been losing now? Thus, though others may differ from me on many issues, I do recognize their right to exist. But I should be allowed to express my disagreement with them. I do assert that there are other religions in the world and that they have as much right to exist as my Christian faith does. Thus, I declare that Jesus is the only way to God. That is the expression of the absolute truth in the scriptures, I would not proclaim that all other thoughts and believers must be extirpated. I do not go out to destroy them. No, I do recognize their right to exist. It is something that belongs to God. The finer thing comes from God. Christians are not of the world, as the Lord is not of the world. Therefore, I would say that I'm a tolerant person. I do recognize their right. But they do not recognize my right to express what the truth is talking about from the scriptures. As a result, I am being discriminated. I am being intolerated by them. The world sees any sort of exclusive truth claim as a sign of gross intolerance. It is an interesting thought, though. You know, when we say truth, truth has to discriminate. Truth has to discriminate on truth. If anyone claims any kind or any level of truth, he cannot but discriminate all other thoughts as untruth. Otherwise, he cannot make any truth claims. Therefore, on the one hand, relativism claims its truthfulness. It intolerates the Christianity, and relativism is extremely illogical. We must understand the two sides of tolerance. There is legal tolerance. Mark 12, verse 17 says, "And Jesus answering said unto them, Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. And they marveled at him." What Caesar must do is legal and social order in a chaotic world. The government is responsible to protect Christian churches from persecutions and to give them freedom of worship, including free expressions of their faith and free exercise of their conscience. Likewise, others should be protected from wrongful persecutions. So I say that we Christians should be able to freely express our faith. Likewise, other religious people must have the same right. Let me take an example. I would say about the freedom of Christian churches and schools and organizations to choose their own staff and students according to their beliefs. When Christian schools hire staff members, their right to hire people with the same faith and to reject anyone not belong to the same faith. Christian schools should not be forced to hire gay or lesbian teachers. But we know that if it becomes a public official kind of position of those schools, it brings forth lots of accusations and angry voices from the world. And last year or a couple of years ago, we saw it happened in one of those Christian schools in Queensland. Even government threatened the school unless they removed that particular clause that those LGBTQ, those things were not allowed in the student body. Staff members must respect it and so on. Christian schools should not be forced to hire gay or lesbian teachers. This legal tolerance must be defended, and it should be applied to all businesses, I believe. And there is social tolerance. We are living in multicultural society. People are coming from different backgrounds, and everyone should be able to live peaceably without slights and condescension. All men and women are created with the image of God. Therefore, everyone must be respected regardless of their backgrounds. Any concept of tolerance must not cancel the biblical truth that all men and women must repent of their sins and believe in Jesus Christ. Then the remaining issue is how we can do it. It will remain as a learning material for another message. Tolerance is important to any human society. However, this word needs to be properly defined. Tolerance must be a benevolent attitude to recognize that different opinions do exist and do not demand acceptance of all opinions as equally truthful. Therefore, we have freedom to express our opinions without fear and to show our kindness to others. This agreement should not be misunderstood as discrimination. We have a right to disagree. We will preach the gospel to the world while we recognize the right of others to exist. Freedom of conscience and freedom of free speech must be allowed while we respect others' freedoms, though there are differences and disagreements between us and them. Recognizing differences is not intolerance. We respect others, and we ask them to respect us. The misguided definition of tolerance should not diminish our efforts to spread the gospel of Christ. And in my secret messages, I'm going to deal with what it means by tolerance of intolerance. And let us look to the Lord in prayer. Father in heaven, we are living in a very difficult age, and there are twists of the meanings of different words. As a result, oftentimes we face situations that our beliefs in absolute truth of God is accused as if it is a crime and hate speech, and we should not have that sort of freedom even in the country we are living in. Dear merciful Father, help us to have the spirit of discernment over these matters, and help us to realize that we should be the salt and the light of the world, and we are going to proclaim the truth, but at the same time, help us to be loving people, dear Lord. Thus, we will have both the truth and love in our actions, in our proclamations, and in our speeches and deeds. O Lord, grant us wisdom and courage to continue to uphold the truth of God. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.